presentation before we can have a nice discussion together. So the second presenter or member of the panel is Professor Nicolas Cossoy. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Natural Resource Sciences here at McGill University. He is an ecological economist interested in the interface between environmental policy and human development. He completed his PhD in ecological economics in 2008 at the Autonomous University of Barcelona in Spain. He has a postgraduate degree in conservation biology from the Durrell Institute for Conservation and Ecology at Kent University, and an undergraduate degree in biology from the Simon Bolivar University in Venezuela. Before joining McGill, Professor Cossoy was a senior program officer for the United Nations Environment Program, where he coordinated the implementation of the Millennium Ecosystem Assessment between 2008 and 2010. He is interested in an interface of climate, energy, and land use governance, including the analysis of payment for ecosystem services, as well as in alternative economic models and plural values as they characterize degrowth research. So please join me in welcoming Professor Cossoy to see his view on the future of farming.
Hello, good afternoon to all. What an interesting crowd. What a great panel to be in. Thanks so much for the invitation, Hugo. Characterizing me as the one who knows about the topic is it's a challenge after the beautiful presentation by Laurette. So I'm going to try to bring my humble views about what I consider is the future in agriculture, or futures, agricultural futures. I think that the main message I want to convey here is a message of co-construction. Agriculture has never been an issue of individuals. It's the reason for some, we'll say, is the reason for humankind as we know it today. And it's definitely a social expression of who we are as a species. Therefore, I would like to talk about two elements and conclude with a final remark. I would like to talk about co-construction of knowledge, co-construction of techniques. Techniques, you will see in a bit, that is a term that involves technology and culture. I cannot see, and I actually find very difficult, the analysis of technology without culture, without the social context. And and then I want to finish with some ideas about healing or closing the metabolic rift. So to start, I would like to quote Graciano, the Director General of FAO, in 2012, I believe. He said, agroecology continues to grow both in science and in policies. It is an approach that will help to address the challenge of ending hunger and malnutrition in all its forms in the context of climate change adaptation needed. So basically, I would like to bring the attention to the esteemed audience here about the importance of agroecology and discussing about agroecology in the sense of what are the benefits that it might bring to the future of agriculture, to the future of farming. It is a way of producing food that maximizes biodiversity, that aims at recycling available natural resources to enhance soil fertility. So it's a local, has a local focus and a local scale, and emphasizes interactions and productivity across the agricultural system. There is already plenty of research on agroecology. And I consider that we should continue on that line. We should continue empowering those farmers that are practicing agroecology, those communities that have been practicing agroecology for centuries. We have to learn from them. Quite an interesting coincidence. Co-construction of knowledge, and you are also doing a participatory seed selection, which I consider one of the cornerstones in the co-construction of knowledge, in this co-creation of a joint future for agriculture, where access to seeds is shared among humanity. There are plenty of experiences that are currently taking place on participatory plant breeding. I encourage you to read the paper that is quoted there. That is not the picture from there. That's a report, so it's a bit misleading. But the idea of the picture is that I wanted to show you that there are many, many, many organizations and many researchers conducting participatory plant breeding and seed selection. What is interesting is that, according to this study, the costs associated with participatory plant breeding at remote locations may be comparable to conventional breeding. So it's not a matter of costs. The benefits associated with a participatory plant breeding can not only be measured and can only be estimated according to the number of varieties, new varieties that are being developed, but it is in essence in the process of social co-creation that we are joining a new venture, that we are co-constructing this new future. We don't know what awaits us ahead when we join forces. We might foresee what will happen to us if we continue walking this path alone. Oh, awful. It's barely readable. But anyway, imagine that there is a beautiful picture of women working in a farm in East Africa, most likely Kenya. What I want to bring is the concept of techniques that Mumford developed initially in 1934. It's published in 1964. The work that he calls democratic techniques, which is the analysis of technology and culture at a scale that is reproducible by farmers. So it talks about the scale. It talks about the amount of human skill and animal energy involved, not about fossil fuel energy that we know it's limited. We know that this type of democratic technique is based on another type of exchange and is not only based on a market exchange, therefore acknowledging other types of values associated to technique. In these exchanges of technology, what counts are social traditions, ceremonies, and gift economy, understanding that nature also provides its share. Therefore, it has to be considered part of our technique. The horizons are limited. It's not about feeding the whole world in 1 hectare. It's about providing food at appropriate scales. It is about wide diffusion and modest demands. It's not about material intensity nor energy intensity. Let's think about this and other statistics. 70% of our food production, we can attribute it to small landholders, less than 1 hectare, in only 25% of arable land, according to Grain, a great organization that did a great report in 2014 that is worth reading. By comparison, it's the definition of authoritarian techniques, which are old, but not as old as the democratic ones. It talks about technical intervention, scientific observation, and centralized political control. I think the key word here is control. This type of techniques rests upon physical coercion, forced labor, and slavery, but now has other expressions in the current society. It is specialized, standardized, replaceable, and has interdependent parts. It's not limited by customs or human sentiment. I think that we have to reflect upon what type of techniques agriculture requires in the future. I want us to bring a concept that is called viable technology, a concept that stems from another ecological economist called Georges Grugen around 1960s, 1970s. He developed his theory of bioeconomics, incorporating entropic limits to the economic analysis. When we look at technologies, and now it's technologies, not techniques, when we look at technologies and we think and discuss about viability, I think that Georges Grugen brings a very interesting relationship between variables. Maintaining corresponding material structure which supports its resource and sink functions and consequently support human activity indefinitely. I would change indefinitely for, well, a longer time horizon. We know that we will get extinct under current environmental conditions. The picture that you see there is a plow that is being used or has been used for the past 6,000 years in the Peruvian highlands, Peruvian-Bolivian highlands in the Andes. Although looks backwards, looks very primitive, isn't it? Looks like something that it doesn't belong to the 21st century. It is the most efficient technology to grow potatoes in the highlands. They still use it. Farmers still use it. They can easily replicate that technology. And it's a democratic technique that has been developed it is the result of the coevolutionary process of human innovation within an environmental context. As a closing remark, because I think that I covered the how. How do I see the future of agriculture? I just want to close with one picture of the who. And I think that what Via Campesina claims, that sustainable peasant agriculture cools down the planet, there's evidence, enough evidence showing that. So I call you all, I urge you all to start healing the metabolic rift, to start closing that gap between the rural and the urban environment, start closing that divide between environment and humans, between nature and humans, and start embracing that in each one of us there is a farmer. We just need to find it and exploit it. Thank you.